you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to pick up a CD before you leave today. It was a opportunity that I had to just share my heart to what God was showing me and pruning me in, and I appreciate the opportunity to share that. Appreciate all the feedback that I received over the last week, people that were encouraged and convicted as well in their own lives and those things. So I just appreciate how we can just be real with each other. Amen. That's what a family, that's what a church is supposed to be like. So we're just excited to have that and that the kind of spirit within our church, just to be real and be vulnerable and be honest and just, just walk with each other. Kind of like living life together, amen? This morning's title is A Worthy Walk. A Worthy Walk. And comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, which is the transition of the book we've talked about already. The first half of the book talks about what Christ has done, who we are in Christ, the victory we have in Christ. And as a result of who we are and what Christ has done and where we're seated and all those things, then Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 4, that I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which God has called you. And then the last half of the book has been teaching us and giving to us practical application based upon who we are in Christ, what Christ has done in us. So we're not trying to obtain something. We're not trying to earn our way to heaven. Nothing like that at all. But because of the work of Christ in our life, chapters 1, 2, and 3, now we have had practical application in our life. And we've looked at those. And this morning, we are, excuse me, I still have this cough that I've had for the last few weeks. Last week, I was supposed to talk about marriages, but we didn't talk about that, obviously. And so this week, we're going to talk about marriages, but we're going to fit it all in together, talking about the family. So marriages, we're going to talk about children and parenting. We're also going to talk about your role in your workplace, whether you are the employee or you are the employer. This chapter here is going to show us how we are to live our life in a practical sense based upon, again, who we are as Christians and who we are in Christ. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why Christians struggle in some areas of their life, while at the same time having a lot of success in other areas of their life, is because we, and I don't know if it's an American thing or if it's a cultural thing, a generational thing, but we compartmentalize our lives so much that we try to take God and squeeze him into a compartment. And within that compartment, we have a lot of different sub-areas, subgroups. And so you can look at your own life this morning, and you could probably pinpoint one or two areas that you struggle in. One or two areas, maybe it's anger or lying or gossiping or whatever your sin is. We all have them. But there's also areas that you do very well in. It's not even a temptation, or if you get tempted, you just walk, you've been walking in victory in that area of your life, and this is the beauty, in my opinion, of what the church is, because some of the areas that I'm weak in, you're strong in, and we can come together, right? And you can help me, and through the power of God and what Christ has done, and encourage me along that road, and I can do the same for you. But I'm convinced that, like in the area of what we're going to talk about today, like maybe your marriage is really good, but you're a horrible parent. Or maybe you're a great parent, but your marriage isn't very good. And so we compartmentalize things, and we kind of do this check-off list, don't we, in our life. And Paul is going to take that mentality this morning in Ephesians, and he's going to throw it out the window. And I believe I'm going to share with you maybe nothing new in the principle of it, but applying it to these areas of your life, I think it will be a fresh and a new insight for you. So this morning, on your sermon outline, it just has the four areas we're going to be talking about this morning, and this is just a place for you to take notes. Excuse me, as the Lord speaks to you and ministers to you in each of these different areas. If they don't apply to you, if you're not married here this morning, then just take some notes, because it can apply to different areas of your life. If you're, I guess we're all children to some degree. But if you're not living at home and you're not a child, then, you can write that some information down there. So I'm going to drink a water, and we're going to pray, and we're going to jump right into this, okay? Sound good? Father, we do just open up our hearts to you this morning. God, we ask you to speak truth to us. Give us a new, fresh insight, Lord, to your word and how to apply it, Lord. That's what we want. We want to be able to leave here today and walk being doers of the word, not just hearers only. So I ask for your wisdom, Lord. I ask for your spirit to speak through me as I share the things you've put on my hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Typically what I do is we'll read the whole text and we'll go back and kind of look at it. This morning we're going to do a little different. We're just going to do one section at a time. And so verse 22, chapter 5, Ephesians. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And all the men said, that's right. All the men said, are you serious? I'm not saying nothing. I've preached about this many times over the years. And I know in our culture, this isn't a very exciting phrase or exciting thing to talk about wives submitting to your own husbands. And the reason why is because the application of this has been distorted over the years. That it is almost as though we're taking the rights away from women. And in our political world, that can be a horrible, horrible thing. So can we this morning just look at the Word of God and read it for what it says and not get mad or not try to interpret it through a past filter or a past experience? The Word of God says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. What this simply means is that in God's structure, the man, the husband, is the head of the home. He is responsible for what takes place in his home. It's a God-given position. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. And to be honest, some men don't take that responsibility very seriously. Some men take it very serious and understand their role. And so one of the reasons why women and wives sometimes don't like to hear this is because the men have failed their wives. The husbands have failed, and the husbands haven't been leading. And so therefore, the wife says, well, why should I submit to this man when he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing? Now, there are delicate situations in this, and I understand that. Well, what if my husband is being abusive to me? Do I still need to submit to him? What if my husband is this and that and all these things? The Word of God says the wives need to submit to your own husbands. And everything. That you are to come under the authority, the position of your husband. Now, your husband probably isn't perfect because there isn't any perfect man except for the one my wife married. I can say that because she's not here today. Amen. And when she listens to the tape or the CD or online, then I will get in trouble. It's a positional thing. It's not a value thing. In fact, if you look, you will see the value of the wife. In verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, wives, you are encouraged, you are commanded in a practical sense to submit to your husband. Okay, now let's go pick on the husbands for a minute. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Yesterday, I stood on the stage and I united a man and a woman in marriage, in a marriage ceremony. And it was, you know, there's the joy that goes along with that. And throughout all the premarital counseling with this couple and get to know them and stuff, the husband, as he stood right here, waiting for his bride, when she turned the corner, he just started crying. And he's kind of a quiet guy. He's not one to really show his emotions, and he's just kind of a nice young man. And I remember yesterday, as I stood way back here, and you know, you see, you know, the friends are up here, and he's there, and she turns the corner, being, you know, ushered down the aisle, and he's just in tears. And they're not tears of sorrow, as many of the jokes would say. You know, we always joke about that kind of stuff. The media jokes about that, TV, sitcoms. But he's in tears because of his love for his bride. And she's, you know, beautiful, and she's all, you know, her hair is all done, and the wonderful dress, and this, the whole environment, and everything that's taken place. There's a love for the bride. There's a love for your wife. Sometimes that love gets lost or doesn't get used because of everyday routines. You know, we don't, we kind of sometimes, you know, we just kind of walk around the house in our sweats all the time or whatever, you know, and it's different than the day, you know, then you got married, when all this energy and attention was taken to prepare for that ceremony. But the Word of God tells you, husbands, to love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. One of the things that's interesting, and we're going to see this all the way through this text, and this is the fresh insight this morning, and this will take away our view of compartmentalizing our Christianity. Well, I do really good over here, but I'm horrible with this sin. I'm really good over here, but I do bad with this, or I'm really good at this, but I'm really bad over here. That is not the way we're designed to live. That's not the way that God designed it to live. Nowhere else in the scripture, and at least in the first, you know, five chapters of this book, do we see compartmentalize. We see Christ's completed work on the cross. We see what Christ has done in us and through us, and what Christ has done for us. Go back to verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. We're going to see this phrase, as to the Lord, in Christ, as Christ, with Christ. You're going to see this phrase throughout all the rest of this text this morning. So what is the secret to submitting to your husband? What is the secret to loving your wife? What is the secret, men, when he says in verse 29, to cherish and nourish your wife? What is the secret? How can we do that? How are we to do that? Wives, what is the secret to respecting your husbands in verse 33? The secret is this phrase and the reality of doing it in Christ, doing it with Christ. You see, in other words, what I'm saying this morning is this. Christ must be the center of our life. Amen? And we know that. Jason, that's nothing new. I know that. Well, then let's live that. We don't live that. We live, Christ is the center of our life, but then over here I have a marriage that has four different subcategories. And I do really well in three of them, but one of them I'm not very good at. And then over here I have parenting, and I do pretty good in two areas, but I'm horrible in three areas. But no, if Christ is the center of our life, it means this. It means that everything flows in and through Christ to every relationship, every facet of my life. Whether it's a hobby, whether it's a marriage, whether it's parenting, whether it's friendship, whether it's at the workplace, whether I'm a child in my relationship with my parents. But Christ is the center of everything. Therefore, I am able to love my wife as Christ did what? Love the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for the church. You see, if Christ is not the center of my life, and if I'm not living my life according to what God says here as a husband, by loving my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not walking in the new life that Christ has given to me. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. In other words, if I'm being selfish and not loving my wife and giving myself completely to her, then I am walking in rebellion to what God has done. Wives, if you're not submitting to your own husbands, then you're walking in rebellion to what God has designed you to live in and to the work that he's accomplished in chapters 1, 2, and 3 in your life. If Christ is the center of your life, if Christ is the head of you, as he is the head of the church, you see, this was the same came. This came so clear to me this week that if the wife will not submit to their husbands, it is the same person that will not submit to Christ. Wives, if you're not submitting to Christ, you're never going to submit to your husbands. Husbands, if you're not loving your wife, then you don't love Christ. You don't love what Christ has done. And if I don't love Christ, then how can I be expected to love my wife? We need to go to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. I want us to see these phrases: with Christ, in Christ, through Christ. Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You can read chapters 1, 2, and 3, and you're going to see that phrase, in Christ, with Christ, you know, through Christ. You're going to see that phrase. And when we read that in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we say, oh yeah, Christ the work. Christ did the work in us. Christ did the work in us. Christ did the work in us. We're with Christ. We're in Christ. And we say, yes. When we get to the practical side, we typically want to just discard all that and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, okay, I got to go love my wife this week. I got to go love my wife. How can I love my wife? How can I love my wife? I don't want to love my wife. All that kind of stuff. You know, we got flesh and pride and all these things and laziness and all these apathy, and we just, ugh. But the same phrases in Christ, with Christ, through Christ that we see in chapters 1, 2, and 3 that we love are the same phrases that we see in the practical application of these principles. So I can only love my wife as God demands me to if I'm in Christ. Amen? You see, my wife is the receiving end of the love that God has given to me for her. You know, Cheryl, my wife, is God's daughter. And God loves Cheryl. Amen? And God has given me the responsibility as the head of our home and the head of our relationship to allow God to love Cheryl through me. But when I say no, because I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever, when she says, honey, can you rub my back? Which is every night. There's some days I don't want to rub her back. No. Do I have to? If you love me, right? If you love me, you'll rub my back. No, she doesn't say that, but that's part of our Mark Gunger series, though, those of you who have gone through our marriage builder stuff. But the days and the moments that I say yes to God, then God has the freedom then to love Cheryl through me. But we want to put conditions on it. We want to put these things. God, you want me to love my wife, but did you see what she did yesterday? Did you hear what she said yesterday? And you want me to love my wife? You want me to give of myself? You want me to cherish her and nourish her today? And God says, yes, absolutely. God, you want me to submit to my husband when he did this? I asked him to do that one thing and he never did it. And you want me to submit to him? Are you serious? God says, yes. And the way we do that is in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ. You see, as you submit to your husbands, you're submitting to God, who is to Christ, who is the head of the church. It's the same submitting. And we would never say that submitting ourselves to Christ is a bad thing. You want me to submit to Christ? Are you serious? What? No, we would embrace that. What? You want me to love my wife as Christ loved the church? What? Well, I'm part of the church. Am I not? Christ gave himself for me. I've received God's love for me. We've read chapter 2. When I was in my trespasses and sin, Christ died for me. So regardless of what Cheryl does or doesn't do, that's not a condition of my love for her. That's definitely not a condition of God's love for her. And God says, Jason, I've brought the two of you together. It is your responsibility to love her and allow me to love her through you. We're going to bring this all together. I've been getting some interesting faces out there this morning. But this is nothing new. We all know this. We know we're supposed to love our husband to respect our husbands. And by the way, there's that whole love and respect teaching that's out there. And it's a good teaching, and the book's okay. And I heard one person say, the Bible never tells the wife to love their husbands. It just tells them to respect. And that's not true. If you read Paul's writing to Titus, he instructs the women to train up the younger ladies to love their husbands. So ladies, sorry, you do have to love your husbands. Chapter 6. All right, let's pick on the children for a minute. We're going to see the same phrase that we've seen talking about marriages. Children, obey your parents. All the parents said. So we have no problems when it comes to that one, do we? Husbands and wives, we're all quiet. To the parents, to the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Here we see that same phrase. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So children, you are told, you are commanded by the word of God to obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, just as you would obey God, we do it in Christ, we do it in Lord. Just like the wives are to submit their husbands as Christ is the head of the church, and husbands are to love their wife as Christ loved the church, here we see children are to obey their parents in the Lord. In other words, the reason or the motive of us submitting, loving, and obeying is Christ. It's not our own self. It's not our own compartment. It's not our own energy or strength. It's because of what Christ has done in us and through us that now I am able to love my wife. You know, as a born-again Christian, I am able to love my wife better than I could as a sinner. Amen? Because as a sinner, I'm selfish. As a sinner, I want just my own pleasure, my own thoughts, my own thing. I don't want to do anything for anybody else. It's all about me. I am my God. But when I become a born-again Christian and I surrender my life to Christ, he becomes my head and I become his servant and he lives and flows through me. And so now I'm equipped to love my wife. Children, you are able to obey your parents, for this is right. I heard the other day a kid, I don't forget where I was at, but I was somewhere and a kid asked a question. Can I go do this? And the parent said, no, you can't. And the kid's like, well, why? You know, I want to know why? And the parent said, because I said so. And the reason you can say that, parent, is because of verse 1. Because it is right. Because it is right for you to obey your parent. Your parent tells you to do something and you don't understand why you should do it. You just need to do it. I do believe it's okay to ask. If you don't understand, you know, why do you want me to take out the trash every week? You know, I don't understand it. Well, and then parents, that becomes a teaching moment. And to be honest, parents is usually where we mess up. We just say, well, we gave the command. You should just go do it. We don't do that at work. You know, we don't walk around or, you know, at school or whatever. We don't just, you know, just do this. And no, we ask questions. Why? Okay, we go to our boss and we ask them, well, how is it you want me to empty the trash? You know, how do you want to? So parents, we need to, which Paul goes on to tell us here in verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Or some translations say, do not embitter your children. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So here again, we see the goal or the motive of a parent and child. So children, I encourage you this morning to obey your parents as you would God. And again, there are delicate situations there. What if my parents ask me to do something that goes against God? What if my parents ask me to do something that's sin? Well, then you wouldn't obey that, because we're doing it unto the Lord. We need to honor our father and our mother, which it's just, so he tells us to obey and he tells us to honor. How many people know that you can obey without honor? You can obey without honor. You know, my son Justin's here. I can say, Justin, go take out the trash. And Justin can do his, which he never does, by the way. And I might get him to take out the trash. He might be obedient, but he's not honoring. Honoring is when I tell him to take out the trash, which is usually his response is, yes, Father, I would love to dispose of the garbage. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. Christ is the center. No more compartments. Christ is the center. Whatever I do it in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, for Christ. And life becomes so much easier. Fathers, mothers, as parents, don't embitter your children. Don't discourage them to the point where they give up. Challenge them, as the Word of God says here, to train them up in the admonition of the Lord. You know, we spend a lot of time training our kids to do, you know, music or sports or this thing or that thing. But what about the character training? What about the training them up in the Word of God? We have a generation that's growing up that doesn't even know their Bible. And parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that our kids are learning the Bible. We can bring them to a church with our Sunday school and, you know, and other activities and great people of character to model that in front of the kids and those things. And that's a great help. But that's not the foundation of it. The foundation of your Bible teaching needs to happen at home. So parents, we need to do this. How does he tell us to do it in verse 4? And you fathers, mothers, I add mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So again, of the Lord, of Christ. All right, so how does this work at the workplace? Verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. This verse summarizes everything I'm talking about. This verse applies what I'm talking about to the marriage, to the parenting, to the workplace. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, and this is the part, according to the flesh. And you're to do that with fear and trembling and in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to Christ. Husbands, love your wife as to Christ. Children, obey and honor your parents as to Christ. In your workplace, your boss, submit to them, serve them, as it says, as to Christ. Now, verse 6 is the one that I was convicted of. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, a lot of times we like to do the showboat thing, right? In other words, I know employees over the years at different places I've worked that seem to only really work when the boss came around. You know, slack people, they just lazy, they just sit around, they just goof off. And as soon as they see a manager walk around, oh, they get busy, they start typing, they start doing whatever. And then the boss comes by and says, "Well, they're always working." Oh, that would just drive me crazy on the inside. What are you, they're never working except for when you come around. But years ago, God taught me a lesson. I mean, years ago, even in my teen years, that I need to work and work with excellence even if nobody else looks. That's something that God has trained me up in and has taught me, but it's still a struggle. So verse 5, and this is bond servants and slaves and masters, but it applies, I believe, to our workplaces. What kind of employee are you? So employee, be obedient to those who are your boss. According to the flesh, so in this world, in this realm, with fear and trembling, with respect. Some of you don't respect your bosses because they're a jerk, they're this or that, they're the other thing. But the word of God is encouraging us that that's not how we're not supposed to live that way. But he says, verse 5. But we do it in sincerity of heart as to Christ. The sentence continues, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ. So I live to please my boss, to honor him or her, help them become successful, and I'm doing it as a bondservant, not to them, not as a worker to them or to my company. That's the practical. That's doing it in the flesh or in this world or in this realm. But I, as a born-again Christian, need to do it and working as though I'm working unto Christ. Amen? As though Christ was my boss. Guess what? Christ is my boss. You see, but if we compartmentalize it, God is not. God's in my workplace? What are you talking about, Jason? Absolutely. Because Christ is the center of our life. In Christ, with Christ, through Christ, of Christ. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God. Again, in the context of verses 5 and 6, whatever your boss is asking you to do, according to, you know, as long as it doesn't go against sin or those, you know, go against God or those things. And we need to do those things and doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men. So if I'm trying to love my wife just so that she feels loved, then I'm missing the mark. I'm not doing what God is wanting me to do. I'm missing it. But if I'm loving my wife as though I'm loving God, and I'm doing it because of my love for God and what Christ has done, then I'm living in it. I'm experiencing what God has in store for me and for my wife. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Okay, now he's in verse 9, talk to the bosses. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So if you're a boss and in your workplace this week, don't threaten people. You know, you go do this or you're fired. You know? I mean, unless you're really going to fire them. I mean, if they're not doing their job, then, you know, whatever God's leading you to do there. But let's don't threaten as a boss, as one who has authority. Let's don't threaten our employees. Let's don't, you know, discourage them. Let's don't do that kind of things. Don't hold it over them. And you masters, do the same thing to them, verse 9, giving up, threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There's no partiality with him. Okay, verse 10 is kind of like verse 6. It's the summary of this whole thing. It says, finally, my brethren, he's going to transition to the end of the book, which we're going to talk about next week. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So how can I, as if I, as a wife, how can you submit to your husband? Well, right here. To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God gives you the power to submit to a husband that maybe is dropping the ball a little bit here and there. I know ladies that refuse to submit to their husbands. They just won't do it. I would propose to you that same person struggles to submit to allowing God, Christ, be the head of them. I know men who limit their love to their wife to conditions based upon their, well, they did this years ago, and so I'm only going to love them to this much. Or, we build these fences around. We don't let our love go to different areas and because we've compartmentalized things. Now, I would tell you that person struggles to even know what God's love is for them and probably views God's love for them the same way. How dare we receive God's love in chapters 1, 2, and 3 and then not be willing to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? There's nothing that Christ didn't do for the church. So husbands, take everything off the table and love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Why? Why? Because it's right. Because there's a promise here. There's a promise for long life. Because if you obey your parents not to play out, tell you not to play on the street, it's because there's safety things there. And the same principle applies across the board. Parents, or excuse me, kids, your parents are smarter than you. They do know what they're talking about. As an employee, serve your boss as though you're serving Christ, because that's what you're doing. As an employer, as a manager, as a boss, as a CEO, don't threaten your employees. Encourage them. Train them up. Reward them. Give them what they've earned. And we do all these things in Christ or in the Lord and the power of his might. So let's don't compartmentalize. Christ is a center, amen? Christ is a center of my life. Therefore, every relationship I have, every facet of my life, Christ is a center. And I need so much to flow out of that center and not be off over here in my own thinking or my own thoughts. Let's bow our heads this morning, close our eyes. And let's just take a moment to reflect on these areas. And maybe this morning, the Spirit of God has convicted you as you've looked at the Word and, excuse me. And maybe this morning, wives, you're not submitting to your husbands. They, as your husbands, are trying to give direction and trying to lead, but maybe you're not willing to submit. Maybe you're not showing them respect, as we read in verse 33. And this morning, just before God, between this is between you and God, that you would just confess that as sin. You would ask God to forgive you, and he's faithful to do that. And that as you leave here today, you would leave here saying, I'm going to submit to my husband as though I submit to Christ in my life. Husbands, I encourage you, according to the word of God, to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That you would cherish and nourish your wife. As verse 33 said, that you would love your wife as you love yourself. And again, we would do that in the power of Christ. Maybe you have some unforgiveness in your heart, or some hurts or some wounds that have hindered your love. But remember what Christ did for us. And while we were still in our trespasses and sin, before we ever deserved it, for the kids here this morning, I encourage you, according to the word of God, to obey your parents, to do what your parents have asked you or told you to do, And I would encourage you to go a step further than just obeying, but you would also honor them, which means in your heart that you would esteem them or respect them, that you would be kind to them, that you would be respectful when they ask of you to do something, or you would respect who they are as your father, as your mother. As employees, as Christians here this morning, that we would live to serve our bosses. We would serve them with integrity and respect, and we would serve them as though we're serving Christ. Maybe this morning we've got some bad attitudes towards our bosses, our managers. This morning, between you and God, maybe you need to confess those things as sin and leave here today in the power of Christ, making a determination that tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to serve my manager. I'm going to serve my boss just as though I was serving Christ. For the managers, employees, employers this morning, maybe the way you've been treating your employees isn't right. You confess that as sin and leave here today in the power of Christ, choosing to no longer threaten the employees, but to reward them, encourage them. And you would do it as though you're doing it under Christ. Father God, we thank you for just a practical application of the Word of God. So many people say and think that the Word of God means nothing. But Lord, you've given to us very practical application this morning. And the most important parts of our life, our family, and in our workplaces. And so God, this morning I ask that as we leave here today, God, we will leave in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, as unto Christ, who is the center of our life. Father, forgive us for the compartmentalizing you and compartmentalizing our lives, trying to juggle all these things. Lord, you are the one that sustains, and you are the one that gives us the strength. Now, Father, I just simply ask, God, that we would not live our lives based upon conditions of what people do, but everything that we find our hand doing, whether we're doing our chores at home, or our work at a workplace, or in a relationship, God, we would do it to serve you and to honor you, not doing it unto men, not doing it as trying to look good or to get man's praise, but God, we would do it unto you. We would do it with integrity. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.